week, I started a new series. And the series is on the one another commands in the Bible. Here's a pop quiz from last week. What's the Greek word for one another? Oh, let me ask again. What's the Greek word for one another in the New Testament? Allelon. Okay. I guess you guys aren't too confident with Greek. Yeah, it's on the screen. Allelon is the Greek word translated one another in the New Testament. And as we said last week, you know, God's smart. The Bible's a good book. You should read it. You know, if we would just read the Bible and study it, God tells us a lot in His Word, a lot of practical things about our lives, and including how we are to treat one another. And so as a church, we've been talking about how should we treat one another. And the Bible, in the New Testament, there's over 50 one another commands, and taking together collectively, these commands together present a beautiful picture, a beautiful portrait of how we are to treat one another in the church. So here's another pop quiz from last week. What is the most common one another command in the New Testament? How'd you know that? Yeah. The most common one another command in the Bible or in the New Testament is love one another. There's over 50 one another commands, 17 of them. 17 of them are love one another. So almost every third time, love one another. And we talked last week, John 13, Jesus says, here's the number one thing, the new commandment. The greatest commandment is what? To love God, of course, number one, but to love one another. Amen. And I think you know that, right? Coming into church today, you probably already knew that we as Christians, you know, I'm supposed to love God, I'm supposed to love people, right? That's what makes me a Christian, I'm supposed to love people. But the question, of course, is how? How do I love people? What does love look like? And, you know, that's a hotly debated, contested question in our modern society. Everybody talks about love and sings about love and movies about love, books about love. But what does love look like practically? And again, that's why we're studying these one another commands. If you study the one another commands in the New Testament, collectively, they present a beautiful picture of what it means to love one another practically. And so last week, we focused on the command to serve one another. I've already heard some feedback. The memorable story, that story, once you hear it, you can't get it out of your head, right? John 13, when Jesus got on his hands and knees, and what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. What a wonderful story, right? And so we looked at that story, and we talked about some of the one another commands in the New Testament about serving one another, humbling ourselves and serving one another. To love others, one way that we express love towards each other is to serve each other and to be humble towards one another. Well, today I want to focus on one another in our worship. That's the topic this morning. One another in our worship. You know, as I was studying these one another commands, I noticed that many of them relate to our Sunday morning worship services. And again, God's pretty smart. You know, He commands us to get together to worship Him. And when we get together, when we gather together in worship, we have a primary opportunity, a practical opportunity to practice the one another commands in the Bible, to serve one another and to love one another. And so many of these one another commands relate directly or are fulfilled by our Sunday worship gatherings. So we're going to talk about loving one another, serving one another practically through our worship when we gather together. And the first passage I want to look at this morning is 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. So turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, is giving some practical commands to us as Christians as to how we are to live this Christian life. So read with me in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. It says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Peter here is giving some practical instructions to us as Christians. And verse 8, he says, above all. So in other words, guys, here's the number one thing. If you're going to do one thing as a Christian, do this. What is it? Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. So again, we have the theme of love, right? Number one thing, love one another. Above all, love one another earnestly. Well, we say, yeah, I get that. I'm supposed to love others. But how? How practically can I love others? And look with me, verse 10. Peter says, here's how you can love others. One way is, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. How do I love others in the church? Well, one very practical way of loving people is to serve them. And Peter says, you serve others when you use your gifts. Here, Peter, the Apostle Peter, is talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about serving one another in ministry. And, you know, if you want to write down Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, the Apostle Paul, goes much more into depth into spiritual gifts. He gives lists of some of the spiritual gifts. But the main point is that every one of us, as believers, we have talents, we have abilities, we've been given abilities by the Spirit of God to serve one another, to help one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another. And the church is healthy, and the church grows as each and every one of us uses our gifts to serve one another. So do you see the pattern here? Peter says, first of all, love. Well, good, love. How do I love? You love by serving. Okay, how do I serve? He says you serve when you use your gifts to serve other people. And so again, the Sunday morning worship service. Sunday worship and the small groups and the Bible studies is a primary opportunity for you to serve others through your gifts, to minister to others by using your gifts. And when you minister to others, you're loving them. You're expressing love to them. And so, you know, in 1 Peter, he talks about two different kinds of gifts. Really, what he's doing is he's summarizing all of the gifts into two different types, speaking and serving. He says, if your gift is to speak, then speak. If your gift is to serve, then serve. And Paul goes into much more detail than that. He gives lists of spiritual gifts. But in one sense, you could say Peter is summarizing all of the gifts into speaking and non-speaking. There's different forms of speaking, spiritual speaking, right? There's prophecy. There's teaching. There's evangelism. There's words of knowledge and wisdom. So there's different kinds of speaking gifts. But there's a lot of non-speaking gifts, right? The gift of helps and mercy. Just practically getting your hands dirty and helping and serving. Miracles and different kinds of gifts aren't necessarily public speaking gifts. The Bible tells us that each and every one of us has received gifts and abilities and talents and passions from the Lord. And we are to use these to serve one another. And when we use these to serve one another, we love one another. And the church grows and is healthy and is blessed. Let's look at the next passage. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So Peter says, love one another. You love one another when you serve one another. You serve one another when you use your gifts to minister to one another. And one of the major contexts, or perhaps the major context in which we can do this, is our worship, when we gather together for worship, specifically on Sunday morning, and of course also during the week when we have different Bible study groups, small groups, events. But the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24-25, talks about the importance of our worship gathering. So read with me Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. He says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the author of Hebrews, at the end of chapter 10, he's giving us some practical commands as Christians as to how we are to treat one another. And in verse 24, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, in the original language, the way it reads is, let us consider one another. I like that. consider one another. That's not a very popular message in our modern day and age, is it? What's the main message of our society is what? Don't think about other people, think about me, myself, and I. Consider me, think about me and my needs and my wants, especially at church. Am I getting what I want and what I need? But the author of Hebrews says what? Consider others. Interesting. And specifically, of course, the command is what? Consider how to stir up others to love and to good works. So we're supposed to think about, how can I stir you up, encourage you, motivate you, inspire you to love? There you go. There's love again, right? Love just keeps coming up over and over again. To love as a Christian, to do good works, to live this Christian life. And the interesting thing is that in the context, look at verse 25, the context of this is our worship gathering. For us in the West, it's Sunday morning, right? It doesn't matter which day and which time, but as long as Christians gather together for worship. But the context is the worship gathering, worship service. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. So the author of Hebrews says, let's not neglect our worship service. Let's not neglect going to church, because when you go to church, it gives you a practical opportunity to encourage one another, to stir one another up to love and to good works. How many of you know Christians who, you know, professing Christians who don't go to church anywhere? Anybody know Christians who profess Christ but they don't go to church? Well, it's prevalent in our day and age, and it was prevalent back then. The author of Hebrews says, even in the days of the apostles in the first century, he says, you know, some have the habit of not going to church. Church is important. Amen? Going to church is important. Why? Because when I go to church, I have a practical opportunity to serve you. I have a practical opportunity to encourage you. When I go to church, I have a practical opportunity to stir you up to love, to good works, to continue on in the faith. And you know what's interesting? As I am busy trying to serve you, what happens? You serve me. You know, I had a good cup of coffee this morning. Actually, I made it, but most of the time it's Debbie that makes it. You know, it's nice to come to church and have a nice cup of coffee, isn't it? Amen. You know, it's nice. Amen. Can I get an amen with that? Yeah. When we walked in this morning, there was a full band, all kinds of musicians and vocalists singing great worship songs arranged perfectly, one after the other. And I didn't have anything to do with it. That's awesome. I get to just walk in, stand up, raise my hands, and start singing, praising the Lord. So I'm busy using my gift to serve you, right? I mean, most Sundays I'm up here teaching. I'm exercising my main gift of teaching, trying to encourage you, trying to stir you up to love and to good works. And at the same time that I'm serving you, I'm being served by you. You know, imagine if I was up here and I had to watch my kids. You know, I've got two lovely boys, but I'm really glad that I don't have to babysit them up on this stage while I'm trying to speak to you. I mean, that would be kind of pretty counterproductive, wouldn't it? An exercise in futility. I'm trying to discipline them, and I'm trying to talk to you. I mean, that would not be fun for any of us. How grateful am I that there are people in this church? Raise your hand if you're involved in children's ministry here at Discovery. Raise your hand. All right, thank you. Isn't that awesome? That they not only watch our children, but they actually teach our children. So my kids come home and I say, hey, how was church? And they say, great. And I say, what'd you learn about today? And they say, I don't know. And then I ask them five more times, and then they tell me about the story that they learned. But, you know, isn't it great that I am serving you, I'm teaching you, and I'm being served by you? I come in, I drink coffee, I worship, I drop my kids off. They get to hear the word of God. You know, when you walk in, hopefully somebody greeted you and they gave you some material. So church is important, right? Not only does church give me a practical opportunity to serve you, and that's cool for me because I feel blessed when I get to make a difference in your life, but also as I'm serving you, you're serving me. And together we're just encouraging one another. We're stirring each other up. We're building each other up. And so if you noticed, when you walked in today, I'm going to ask you for a response. Imagine that. Pastor asking for a response. But how many of you got one of these? Okay, hey Chris, is Chris here? Can we pass out the extra copies? Just if you didn't get one, Chris is just going to pass them through the rows, and if you didn't get one, just take one. But hopefully most of you got one. But I printed this out a few years ago, and praise the Lord, it has really grown and expanded since back then. I've had to update it. But what this is ministry teams serving opportunities. And so this is just a list of some of the ministry teams here at Discovery. And by the way, how do we do ministry at this church? We do ministry in teams. So it's not a bunch of mavericks or soloists. We do ministry in teams. And we do it according to gifts. You know, if you feel called to work with children, then you join the children's team. If you're gifted musically, you join the worship team. If you love greeting people and receiving people into our church, then you work with the welcome team. If you love praying for people and just, you know, listening to their stories and praying for them, then join the prayer team. And, you know, if you love blessing people with food, whatever it is that you're passionate about, that you're gifted at, that you're willing to do, there's a team here at Discovery. Well, I can't say whatever it is, but there are a lot of different teams. And you'll also notice there are prospective ministries like the care team or, missions and outreach, recovery, you know, different aspects of ministry that we want to offer at our church. And we haven't been able to do that yet. So if that's you and you say, well, I'd love to be part of this, even though it's not really existing yet, then cross your name. I'd like everyone to, throughout the rest of the service, cross off what you're a part of, cross off what you would like to be part of, turn it in. At the end of the service, we're going to ask everyone to turn it in, and I'm going to go through it over the next week, process all of these, and you know, I'm going to be contacting you. And I can't promise that whatever you say is what you're going to be doing, right? That's not what I'm saying, but at least you get an opportunity to say, you know, I'd love to be involved in this or in that ministry. And I'd love to talk with you about it. That's why I'm asking you to put your contact info, and I want to follow up with you and talk with you. Don't worry, I'm not going to force you into anything you don't want to do, but it's just a matter of you expressing, you know, this is what I would love, how I would love to serve my brothers and sisters, and therefore to love my brothers and sisters practically in this church. So we are to love one another. We love one another when we serve one another, when we serve in ministry according to our gifts. Then we're serving and we're loving one another. And Sunday mornings are a primary opportunity. We've got all kinds of teams active every Sunday morning to put on this service and also throughout the week. That's how we serve one another. That's how we love one another. Well, the rest of this message, I want to talk about four ways, practically. I want to go through, and this is kind of quick, but I want to go through four ways, practically, that we fulfill the one another commands of Scripture to love one another and serve one another through our worship on Sunday mornings. Four ways. And so the first one is teaching. Now that's probably not too much of a huge revelation to anyone. But when we offer teaching in our worship gatherings, this is a way that we serve one another. It's a way that we love one another. It's a way that we build one another up in the faith. And so, two scriptures. Number one, Romans 15, verse 14, Paul says to the Christians in Rome, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. So Paul says, you know, guys, I'm confident, I'm happy about you, that you have knowledge, and that you're able to teach one another. So as a church, we are to instruct one another, to teach one another. And there's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And I could name many different scriptures, but here's one, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. As Christians, we're commanded to encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So we're commanded how to treat one another. We teach each other. We encourage each other. We warn each other. We build each other up in the faith. And of course, I'm doing this on Sunday mornings, but I'm not the only one, right? I'm not the only one who's teaching you. As I said, everyone who is involved in our children's ministry, teaching our children, that's teaching. Our youth ministry, teaching our youth. We have community groups. We're taking a break right now, but once we restart the small groups, the community group ministries, we have different people involved, and they're teaching throughout the week. We offer men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. We offer different classes or lecture series. And so I'm not the only one who's teaching, right? Many of us in the church are fulfilling this scripture, exercising our gift, and teaching each other in all kinds of different formats. So we fulfill the commands to love one another by teaching each other. The second way that we fulfill the one another commands in our worship is through song. Obviously, song and music, worship music, plays a major role in our worship service on Sunday morning. And that's biblical. I love Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So there's a lot in this verse. But Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Reminds me of Psalm 1, right? God's word should be in us, breathing, living in us, deep inside of us. Let it dwell deeply in you, the word of God. "Blessed is the man who meditates day and night on the word of God. He'll be blessed in all that he does." And look, how can we do this as a church? How do we help people have God's word deep in their hearts? Well, he says, "Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So, of course, again, we have this command to teach one another. But notice, the context of this teaching is singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Did you know that the worship time, the time when we sing songs, is a time of teaching? Did you know that? It's not like my teaching. I think it's a little bit more entertaining. There's music and there's solos and there's musicians and drums. It's a little bit more entertaining. But it's a teaching time. You know, I get up and I give a message, a sermon. But the worship team, when they're singing songs and leading us in worship, they are teaching us. That's what Paul says. Teach one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in the church. And anybody who knows anything about music knows that music is one of the most effective educational tools, right? I mean, if you want somebody to memorize something, what do? You turn it into a song. How do you teach kids the ABCs? You sing the ABC songs. If you want to memorize something and really have it dwell deep within you, you encapsulate it into a song. And so for us as a church, we want the word of Christ, the word of God, the truths of the Bible, the truths of Christianity to be deep in our hearts. How do we do that? It's through worship, through singing these songs. How many of you go around throughout the week oftentimes and you're singing a worship song? Anybody do that throughout the week, singing a worship song? Isn't that great? That's a practical expression of the word of Christ dwelling richly in you. God's word is just in you and you're just singing it out. So music is a great way to teach one another the word of God, to have God's word dwelling in us, and of course, therefore, also to serve one another and to love one another. The third way in which we fulfill these one another commands, to love one another, to serve one another in our worship gatherings, is the way that we welcome one another in our greeting, in our fellowship time. Now, here's a funny command. Romans 16:16. How many of you read this before and thought, well, this is kind of weird? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Anybody ever read that before and just thought, you know, that's kind of weird that that's in the Bible? Anybody? I don't know. I have. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And the funny thing is that this command comes not once, not twice, but four times throughout the New Testament. And it's always the same. You know, at the end of a letter, Paul or Peter will say, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, what in the world does that mean? You know, it's interesting because most of you know that I spent 14 years in Austria. In Austria, as well as most European cultures today, what do they do? If you see a family member, if you see a close friend, how do you greet them? You kiss them. Now, it's a holy kiss. We're not talking about going around and, you know, making out with everybody, but it's a holy kiss. So in Austria, if you see someone, if I see someone I know, then we do the two kiss thing. So on each cheek, we just touch both of our cheeks to each other, you know. And that's a way of expressing, I know you, you know me, we value one another. I greet you warmly. And, you know, that's more similar, the European culture, today is more similar to the cultures of the Bible, where that was a customary thing to do. If you knew somebody, if they were your family, they were your friends, you would greet them with a kiss. How should we practice this today in our church? What's the sentiment, the principle, the meaning behind this command for us? Should we start telling, you know, Judy, you know, the greeting team, everybody that walks in, just go up and give them a big smooch? I mean, is that what we should start doing? You know, we want to be biblical, right? Well, there's an amazing command in Romans, an amazing command. And this is awesome. I'm convicted by this. I don't know about you guys. I'm convicted about this. And I really pray our church could do this. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That's amazing, isn't it? What if we could do that as a church? The Apostle Paul says we are to welcome people into our church. We are to receive people into our church as God has received us. Wow. I'm just going to fall on my knees and repent right now. Isn't that amazing? What would a church look like? Can you imagine it? I don't know if I can even imagine it. What would a church look like if we welcomed people here the way God welcomed you? I don't know about you, but I want to go to that church. Do you? Sign me up. I want to be a member of that church. Discovery Christian Community. What's it going to take for us to welcome people into our church, to receive people in as God has received us? How did God receive us? You know, he doesn't say about our sin that it's not sin, but he forgives us of our sin. When we humble ourselves, we come before him. We confess faith in him. He washes our sins. As far as east is from the west. He says there's no more condemnation. You've been cleansed. He adopts us as a member of his family. We become a son or a daughter of God through faith in Christ. And God says, I'm going to come and dwell in you. Now think about when you became a Christian. Were you perfect? Did you have, you know, all your weaknesses and idiosyncrasies worked out? Did you clean your whole life up and get everything in order before you became a Christian? I mean, let's be honest, we're still screwed up. No matter how long we've been following the Lord, we've still got a lot to work through with the Lord Jesus, right? And yet God receives us. When we come to him, he receives us in love. And he forgives us. And he fills us with his power, his presence. And he gives us eternal life and hope and promises and inheritance. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And how ironic is it for me to say this? And then when I say amen at the end of the service, be warmed and filled, go in peace, you get up, you turn around, and you walk out, and you don't greet anyone. How many of you have been to a church where you walk in, you sit through the service, you get up, you walk out, and no one acknowledges that you're there? Anyone ever had that happen? Look at that. You know, we say, hey, let's reach the world for Christ, amen. And everybody says, amen, reach the world for Christ. And we can't even go over and shake someone's hand in our church that we don't know and say, hi, nice to meet you. My name's John. How are you doing? Welcome to our church. Isn't that the very least of what it means to love one another? I mean, welcoming one another as Christ has welcomed you overwhelms me. I don't know how I can do that. But at the least, I could put my hand out to someone I don't know and say, hi, welcome to our church. I'm glad you're here. So what would it take, Discovery, for you, for me, for us to welcome people here as Christ has welcomed us? The fourth and the final way, and this is my last point, the fourth and the final way that we fulfill the commands to love one another, to serve one another in the church, is through ministering to one another and praying for one another. Ministering to one another in prayer. This is an amazing scripture. You know, I wish I could take more time on every one of these scriptures. I have to be careful not to keep on expounding on every one of them. They're just so rich, so good. But Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. You know, it's the picture of someone walking with a load, with a weight, with a burden. And you come up and you grab them by the side and you take one of the straps of their load, you put it on your back. And of course, two people carrying the same load is half as light, half as heavy as one person. bear one another's burdens. And the apostle says, when you do that, you fulfill the law of Christ. Now, everyone should know this. What's the law of Christ? Love, right? A love one another. So let me ask one more time. Everybody, we got this, right? What's the law of Christ?
Love
one another. Paul says, hey, how do we do this? How can I fulfill this? Well, one way you fulfill this law is to bear one another's burdens. How many of you have come to church with a burden? Raise your hand if you've ever come to church with a burden. Now, if your hand's not raised, it means you're deaf, you're lying, your life is completely perfect. I don't know. But if you're honest with yourself, many of us often come to church with a burden. In my own personal life, in my marriage, with my kids, in my job, my family, my neighbors, maybe multiple burdens at one time. And we're commanded when we gather together for worship, bear one another's burdens. How can we bear someone's burden? You know, most of the time, I can't fix your problem. I can't solve whatever it is. Sometimes I can, and I try to do my best if there's something I can do to help fix it. But let's face it, most of our burdens, I can't fix yours and you can't fix mine. But there's two things I can do. Number one, I can listen. Amen. Whatever your burden is, I can listen. You know, in our personal evangelism class last week, we talked about the power of listening. Most people are lonely. Most people feel very isolated in their lives because they feel like they don't know anyone. Or maybe there's only one person or two people at the max who actually genuinely listen to them. What if we were a church of people who actually listened to each other instead of just waiting for them to stop so you can say whatever you want to say? I can't always, most of the time, I cannot solve your problem for you, but I can listen. And the other thing is I can pray. I can pray for you. That's what James says, James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Amen. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. It's powerful. You know, as you may have noticed over the last few months, we have a prayer team at the front of the church. Every service at the end, we invite everyone who has some kind of burden, some kind of need. They would like to have prayer to come forward, and that's awesome. I hope, at the very minimum, the members of our prayer team would be willing to listen to you and to pray for you. But my challenge for you and me is discovery. What if all of us were doing that with one another? I mean, this is a one another command, not just for the prayer team, but for every one of us. Amen? As Christians, we're called to bear each other's burdens. And I think one of the major ways we do that is by listening and by praying. You know, if someone talks to you after church on Sunday, you don't have to give a 5-minute mini sermon, eloquent, you know, prayer for the nations on TV. Just say, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. You must be really sad. You must be really depressed. You must be really angry. Can we pray? And just make it a quick prayer. Lord, I just bring this person before you and they're struggling with this. I just pray, you know, just make it brief. Make it quick. What if we listened to one another and we prayed for one another? It's one of the major ways that we fulfill the commands to love one another, to serve one another through our teaching, through song and music, the way we greet one another and receive each other, and by ministering to one another, bear each other's burdens and praying for one another. So I'd like to conclude. This morning we've continued our series of studying the one another commands in the Bible. And specifically, the title of my message this morning is One Another in Our Worship. So we talked about how the one another commands relate to our Sunday morning gatherings, our church services. We started with 1 Peter, who repeats that command, the old command, love one another. And he says, you love each other when you serve one another, and you serve one another when you use your gifts. And so we talked about the importance of serving in ministry, serving others. And we also talked about Hebrews chapter 10, which talks about the importance of church. Church is important. When I go to church, not only do I serve you, but you serve me. Church gives me a practical opportunity to serve you and also to be served by you. We build each other up in the faith. So the question is, what about you? How do you serve? How do you serve in ministry at Discovery? And that's why I've prepared this handout. Give every one of you a practical opportunity to say, this is where I'm serving, or this is where I would like to serve. And I'd encourage every one of you as we close the service to turn that in. And let's talk about how you can serve here at Discovery. Serve one another and love others. We've also talked this morning about four ways in particular. Four ways that we serve one another, we love one another through our worship services. The first one is teaching. We love one another, we serve one another when we teach the truth of God's Word, the Bible, to each other. And of course, this is my ministry as a pastor, but it's not just my ministry. It happens in the small groups. It happens in the Bible studies and the Sunday school classes and in all kinds of different formats. The second way that we serve one another, we love one another in our worship is through song. And that's an interesting truth, isn't it? That Paul says one way to teach each other, one way that we are taught is through the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs. Our time of worship is a time of teaching. The third is through our greeting and our fellowship with one another. That amazing command, welcome one another, receive one another as Jesus has welcomed you. What would a church look like that received people the way that God has received us? Man, I'd love to be that church. Finally, we talked about the fourth, ministering to one another, praying for one another, bearing each other's burdens. And we said most of the time we can't solve each other's problems. Sometimes we can, but most of the time we can't. But what we can do is we can listen and we can pray. Listen to someone with understanding, with empathy, and pray for them. You can minister practically to them, both our prayer team as well as just in general in our relationships with one another. As we said this morning, our worship services on Sunday mornings are important. Gives us a practical opportunity to serve and to be served and to love one another. And as Jesus said, as we're loving one another, when the church loves, the world believes. Amen? When the church loves, the world believes. So my prayer is that we would serve one another according to our gifts. And that we would, through that, love one another, that the world would believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. As we've said, your word's so practical. We just have to study it. Just have to follow it. Thank you that your word teaches us how to treat one another. And of course, we know the main thing is love. But what does it mean to love? Lord, we thank you that your word gives us practical instructions. What it means to love, what it means, how we are to treat one another. And I pray for us as a church that we would take these commands to heart, that we would take them seriously. I thank you for the teaching that is going on here at Discovery, and I pray that it would multiply. I pray you would multiply teachers for every kind of venue that many classes would be taking place all the time at Discovery. Multiply teachers in this church. Multiply speakers. Lord, I pray that you would multiply worship. I know that that's Scott's prayer. I thank you for the band that you've given us. I thank you for every single person on the worship team who serves. And yet I know that Scott's prayer and my prayer is that you would multiply biblical Christian musicians, vocalists and musicians for our worship team, that we could even see multiple teams. Lord, I pray that you would change us in the way that we greet one another. We're so good at greeting those we love. We're so good at greeting those we like anyways. What about the person across the aisle whom we don't know? Or maybe if we admit it, we might not even like. Will we receive them as you have received us? Lord, I pray that we would grow in love and in welcoming and greeting one another. And Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be my ministry to listen, and it wouldn't just be my ministry to pray, but that every one of us would be bearing each other's burdens. That you'd increase our capacity and our ability to listen to one another, to pray for one another, to minister to one another. Because let's face it, we're all going through a lot of things. We all have burdens to carry. Lord, I pray that you would teach us as Discovery Christian Community to truly serve one another, to truly love one another, that the world would believe in you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.